The Nat Coombs Show, presented by Paddy Power Fantasy.
Hello and welcome to The Nat Coombs Show, brought to you by Paddy Power Fantasy. Good to have you with us. Monday's here, which means we've had a weekend of football, a freight train of football running through my brain, running through all our brains. So we're going to try and get you up to speed and make sense of it all. What a weekend it was. A lot of comebacks, a lot of surprises, so much to get into. And Jason Bell, I'm delighted to say, a lot of you will know him, of course, from TV, is joining the show this season. Jay Bell dropping by in just a little bit, and we'll get into all the big stories from NFL Sunday. Now, remember, gang, we've got four shows a week this season. This Monday's show, Wednesdays with Iron Mike, deep diving, going a little bit old school. Ben Isaacs is our studio guest on Friday, so we'll give a bit of college steer to that as well, but be previewing the big games coming up this weekend. And Saturday, get your fantasy mojo on, your daily fantasy skills with our fantasy guru, the OG Ollie Giel. So four shows a week. If you don't want to miss them, make sure you subscribe to us on your podcatcher of choice and you won't miss a trick. Lots going on social as well. At the NC Show is how you find us. At the NC Show, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, conversations, chats, all kinds of extra content, video content rolling out all through the week. So get involved. There's a great community going on there and get stuck in. Right then, plenty to be getting our teeth into. So let's welcome the great Jay Bell onto the show. Jason Bell, very good to have you on the show. Very good to have you on board this season, my friend.
I mean, anything with you is excellent, man. I know we're going to have a good time talking about all the themes this season. So you're a knowledgeable guy, so I'm happy to be with you.
Oh, man, loving that intro. Hell of a start, Jay Bell. It's downhill from here. There is a ton to get into. And every Monday, of course, we're going to get our listeners up to speed with everything they need to know about the weekend. And our work is cut out. We were chatting on WhatsApp earlier, and there is a hell of a lot of ground to cover. So we've got to do our level best, a freight train of information coming your way, listeners. There's only one place we can start, though, and that is New England and the Patriots. And, of course, since we last dropped a pod at the weekend, in fact, it has been all change in the Antonio Brown situation. 48 hours is a long time in the NFL. We wrapped up the last pod. He was a Raider, and now he's a New England Patriot. And based on their performance against the Steelers, Jay Bell, they don't even need him.
Dude, what is going on over there? How are they able to pull this off? How do you get better? How do you go from great to greater? And they arguably have the most dynamic receiving core in the NFL. Man, maybe in pushing NFL history with the addition of Antonio Brown. How do you get this good? The rest of the league should be frightened.
So Josh Gordon stepping up, and that's great to see because Josh Gordon is a player who is immensely talented but has had all kinds of issues off the field. His turnaround this season has been pretty dramatic as well, and he was instrumental in their win. Philip Dorsett, who's only had three touchdowns over the last two seasons, scored two against the Steelers. You got Edelman, you got White out of the backfield as well, and now you're adding pound for pound one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, the big thing about it is you watch that game, New England started off trying to establish the run. They were trying to get the Steelers to, you know, make sure they had their run fits down and threaten them with that. Because regardless of what happens, you have to play those run fits. And even though they weren't breaking any long runs, they were making the Steelers respect that. And then they just went crazy after that and started spreading the ball around. I mean, it looks like Tom Brady hasn't lost a step or a snap of that arm. They always find a way to execute and use all of their talent. But my goodness, they started fast this year. And they usually don't. This was a surprise.
Yeah, that's right. They usually slow starters, and that doesn't faze Belichick at all. On the Antonio Brown situation, as a player, how are you reading that? Because we did a show together last week before all this really kicked off, but we'd seen his quite eccentric off-season, turning up for training in a hot air balloon was my personal favorite. He was he was behaving pretty erratically, wasn't he? But we still figured at the end of the day, he's going to go on the field for the Raiders and ball. But now, seemingly his agent engineered this move. He ends up a Patriot hours after he leaves the Raiders. It leaves a bitter taste in the mouth, and it seems to have absolutely polarized opinion. As a former player, how do you look at this?
You know, as a former player, I understand players trying to make decisions for the best of their career. And regardless of their antics, regardless of what kind of character they are, you have to make decisions based upon your own individual career. Mm. And I was thinking, like when we were doing this last week, I was saying, Nat, man, is this guy just, is he out of his mind? He's either out of his mind or a genius.
Right,
Because there's no way anybody would do this and push the envelope like this. But it seems to be him and Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, they always wanted to be in New England. That trade just mm-hmm. didn't happen. So they orchestrated what they wanted the whole entire time. That's what it feels like. So, yes, it'd be hard to deal with from the outside, but if you're going to be on a team and any team that's going to check you and regulate you is the New England Patriots.
Right.
You know, people say he's a good teammate. You know, Terrell Owens had a bad rap too, but anybody who played with him loved him. Mm. So you kind of hear the same about Antonio Brown. Some guys have things to say about him that played with him. But for the most part, people respect how he goes out there about his business. And it's a business, but I can't believe what this guy's pulled off. I mean, this is historical.
It's a heist. Rosenhaus has pulled off a hell of a heist. No seriousness with Belichick. You get the sense, well, more than a sense, you know, there's a precedent there that he's not going to take any nonsense. The moment Antonio Brown starts playing up, Belichick will step in, irrespective of how good a player he is. What do you feel though, Jay, about the, and I don't want to get, you know, high and mighty and on a soapbox too much, but I'm watching Hard Knocks and seeing a whole lot of kids who've got the Antonio Brown shirt, Raiders shirt this is, and, you know, thinking about the parents that have worked hard to buy those expensive NFL jerseys, and he doesn't even play a game for them. He's already off. I mean, you've got to have, I guess, a lot of sympathy for them, but that really underpins those on the critical side of this move.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, yeah, you don't, anybody that spends their hard earned money on any kind of anything that the NFL has to sell. I mean, that's serious, right? As a player, you really respect that. But, you know, the NFL needs to figure out a way that maybe people get reimbursed for turning those jerseys back in for another one.
Sure.
There's no lack of money in the NFL. So maybe they can figure something out because, hey, it's not his fault. He's at another team. You can't really put the blame on Antonio Brown that, you know, his jersey is now with another team. So, I understand that, but that's a part of the game. You know, if he would have changed his number, then there's a way where he has to buy back a certain amount of jerseys or something. I know that exists. But in this case, what do you do?
Yeah, the NFL stepping in, the Raiders stepping in would be a good move. Let's move on. A terrific performance from the Patriots then, blowing the Steelers out of Foxborough. Terrific performance from the Baltimore Ravens. No surprise, really, because they were up against the Dolphins, who we're expecting, particularly on what we've seen this weekend, for them to continue to fish tank, as we're calling it. But Lamar Jackson was lights out, wasn't he? And he had a bit of swagger after the game as well, throwing a sideswipe to those critics, saying pretty good for a running back. The book on him, of course, that he can't, decent with his legs, but he can't throw the ball. But he was pitch perfect against the Dolphins. So are Baltimore and Lamar Jackson that good, or are Miami that bad, or is it a combination of the two, Jay?
It's a combination of the two, but I don't want to take away for what Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens have done this offseason. What they did was they took a player they believed in Lamar Jackson, and they said, we are going to build around your talents. We're going to help you get better technically. You know, his base was better throwing the ball, things of that nature, but we're not going to make you do things that you're not good at. We're going to build around your skills. And you saw that with Hollywood Brown. They got an explosive player, someone that really works well with his style. Get the guy, get the ball out to explosive guys, let him make plays. And he's going to see, I don't want to say vanilla defenses, but he's not going to see a lot of tight man-to-man on first and second down, because that means the defense's back is to him. And when you got a scrambling runner like that, you don't want that as a defense. You want to see where Lamar Jackson's going. So he's going to have easier looks than a lot of quarterbacks. But you still got to make the throw, and he's making the throws. You see, you know, he's some done of really those well throws, with that offseason.
With Hollywood as well. I mean, the one down the middle that he just over the top, rather, that Hollywood burnt an absolutely terrific throw right on the button from Lamar. Let's talk, though, about what happens week six, week seven, when defensive coordinators all around the league have had a chance to look at a bit of tape of the two of them working together. Are we talking about a different story then?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Baltimore knows they have to have a counter. They have to have something else to go to. And they've been working on that. These coaches know what they're doing, but it's up for him to execute it. They're going to definitely take away the throws he's comfortable making, and they're going to make him adjust. They're going to make him see different looks. They're going to try to confuse him. All that's going to happen. But has he had enough in his preparation this offseason to help him to sustain this level of play? We will see. But, yes, this is what happens with all quarterbacks. The great ones adjust to the third skill set they have, because teams take away the first and the second. They make you adjust, and he's going to have to do that.
We're talking about overreaction on Monday. A lot of overreaction flying around the NFL at the moment. One of them can be, of course, Lamar is a lock for MVP. A lot of people getting a little bit carried away maybe with his performance. The Patriots going undefeated, J-Bell's another one as well. I'm not buying that at all. They might have the talent and ability to pull that off. But if they get to, let's say they get to 13-0, 14-0, and they've locked down the number one seed in the AFC, Belichick is going to be resting up players left, right, and center. He's not going to be worried and bothered about an undefeated record. Or is he? Do you think at this stage of his career, that might matter to him? Because he, you know, he doesn't have an indefinite amount of time left. Or do you think that he's going to stay true to type and not be worried about what is ultimately a nice record to have, but not a Super Bowl ring?
I think the only thing we can say about Belichick for sure that everybody knows, he's not changed for anybody. He's not tripping. He doesn't care. He's got his formula the way he does. He's the same guy every day, day in and day out. That is the Patriot way. That is all over their locker room. They just go to work. He's not going to change.
Would you have liked to have played for Belichick?
I could have played for Belichick because I like structure. Mm. I can deal with this is what is expected. This is what you do. You know, go to work and do this. I like that. I think coaches that demand that get a certain player. Mm. And I definitely was that kind of player.
In terms of one more on the Ravens and one more particularly on, well, Hollywood Brown, where is that in terms of power rankings of the greatest nicknames of all time in the NFL? Hollywood's got to be up there. I mean, you got Sweetness, the Fridge, of course, but Hollywood, that's got to be a bolt in new entry in the top 10, isn't it?
Yeah, they had a guy named Hollywood Henderson, a linebacker from the Cowboys back in the day. And I think he won the lottery twice after he retired.
What?
So I'm rolling with Hollywood all day.
You won the lottery twice, like serious money twice.
I think he won the lottery twice.
Legend. Mean Joe Green, that's another one. We'll fire some out on social, see what you guys think. At the NC Show, that's how you get in touch with us, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, get the plugs away there. Let's move on from a terrific afternoon for a young quarterback to a desperately disappointing afternoon for Nick Foles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Chiefs blowing them away at home in Jacksonville. But, of course, there's more to that story than meets the eye. Nick Foles, who they brought in the offseason to solve their fundamental problem of this particular incarnation of the Jaguars, J-Bell, that quarterback position that Blake Bortles had been indifferent at best, lackluster, the Achilles heel of this side. So they went out and bought a Super Bowl winner, brought him in, and he falls out of his first game as a Jaguar, breaking his left clavicle, could be out for a serious period of time. And Gardner Minshew, the rookie, came in and stepped up, didn't he? But the damage has been done, and already you're starting to feel very, very negative about the Jags season.
Yeah, and who doesn't like Nick Foles? Like, really, this is just a good guy. Mm. Everybody around the league likes him, and that's what you needed in that locker room. You needed a quarterback that had that leadership ability, people liked, and he was a winner. And now you lose him. And then you lose him on that play. Mm. I mean, what a play. What a throw. That's what you brought him in for. So, yes, that's devastating for the Jaguars. But, you know, they got problems. They have too many penalties. They don't have the formula to win games undisciplined. So, you know, them having, I think they had 10 penalties. That's just, they're not going to win football games like that. Other things happen, but they have to be disciplined. Miles Jack getting kicked out of the game. Come on. You just got a big contract.
He just
and
got
I
paid.
Like him. He's a UCLA Bruin. My
well,
God.
Of course. He's one of your guys. It. Yeah. Just got paid. It took two men to restrain him as well. It looked like something out of WWE, you know, that they're staging that. Hold me back, hold me back. I mean, craziness from him. That's been a problem for years, though. And it's surprising when you think it's Tom Coughlin at the top of that tree, that talk of discipline and coaches and authority figures that demand discipline. Coughlin is pretty much as authoritarian as it gets. He played under Coughlin, of course.
Yeah, Coughlin's not having that. I mean, he's not. One thing about Coughlin, he's going to have you ready. You're going to understand and you're going to be disciplined. Mm. Now, Coughlin's not the head coach, but he has his fingerprints all over that organization. And this is something that is completely unacceptable. Too many. You can't beat yourself in this league. It's too hard to win games. Don't beat yourself by penalties and missing assignments.
It's a bad start for the Jags for all kinds of reasons. But the Chiefs picking up where they left off, Jay Bell, Mahomes in particular, of course, the reigning MVP. And for all those people that thought he might have a difficult follow-up season, well, it doesn't look like it. And Sammy Watkins as well. How about that? One of those players, or quite a few of them as well, DeSean Jackson back at the Eagles. Sammy Watkins really stepping up when, you know, they'd gone under the radar going into this season.
Yes, people forgot about Sammy Watkins, right? Mm. Sammy said, I'm still here, man. I was a top draft pick. And, you know, his main thing, Sammy Watkins is a powerful runner. So what that means is if you get him the ball in space or get him the ball with the ability to continue to run, he's most likely going to break a tackle from a DB. He's always been like that. That's why they throw him the quick screens a lot, because they know he breaks tackles. So that's what he did. He's the kind of guy you get the ball in space and let him run around. He's explosive and can break tackles. You know, I almost think they appreciated featuring him like this. If you think about the season as a whole, get it started, get teams to focus on him, get teams to say, oh, wow, we got to lock in on him. Then you still got all these other weapons. So you want people guessing on which direction you're going to go. Put it on the tape. They did that. Anybody can ball for them, and you see that happen.
Yeah, they absolutely on fire again. Tyreek Hill, the only concern for them, went out in the first half with a shoulder injury. So we'll have to see how that plays out for them. But as J-Bell just alluded to, plenty of other weapons in the mix to keep them going for a while. Well, that's what we thought about the Cleveland Browns as well, with Odell Beckham going there to hook up with his old college partner, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, whatever you think of him. And his mouth off the field, he certainly got the moxie, right? He certainly got the swagger and can play. But they were not at the races, J-Bell, whatsoever. Tennessee blowing them away, 43-13 the final. So have we been overestimating Cleveland and perhaps underestimating Tennessee?
Now, when you say somebody's not at the races, that isn't good. That isn't good. That means you didn't even, you really didn't show up, man. And you're right. I mean, you know, okay. In all seriousness, the question in the beginning of the year was the offensive line. Everybody was really excited about all these toys on the outside, but we know football is won up front and lost up front, and good quarterbacks can make up for a bad offensive line, getting rid of the ball quicker, making quicker decisions. We've seen this before with the elite quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, he's good. He's on his way, but it's hard to adjust, and you saw that. Five sacks. I mean, at some point, you got to have to get rid of the ball quicker and do different things. And you saw him get off the ground a couple of times, and Baker just started looking a little tired, exhausted. I was making a joke to myself. I said, he has that walk. You know, you get that walk where your body's just tightening up because you're getting off the ground too much.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see that. But on the flip side, yes, we knew that was an issue. But 18 penalties. 18 penalties the Browns had. Always question with all these people, where's the leadership going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to check everybody? Who's going to step up and say, this isn't who we are?
Mm.
Well, all those penalties lets me know somebody on the sideline wasn't going up and down and saying, hey, fellas, let's get this together. Let's wrap this up. This is ridiculous. They have a leadership issue. Somebody's going to have to come out and be the enforcer and say, we're not going to do this ever again.
And he, and it, again, it's easy. It would go back to the overreaction that Freddie Kitchens, their head coach, isn't capable of being a head coach. That's been a concern, of course, his inexperience a little bit, but also his manner, his style. He seems to be one of the boys, a little bit that kind of coach, more than maybe the authoritarian Belichick, well, Coughlin style that we were talking about earlier. But question marks about him. On the flip side of that, Mike Vrabel, a Belichick alumni, of course, and the Titans were over last year, and I did a Facebook Live with Vrabel and some of his players, and it was a you just got a real sense, Jay, that it was mainly defensive players. I think Mariota was with the only offensive player there, and the rest were from his defense. You got the feeling that he seemed to strike a real balance between the two. So between that head coach that is too pally, too friendly with his players, and maybe doesn't command enough respect as a result, and one that is too distanced and dislocated from his players. And their players seem to, and there's a lot of vets in that team as well, aren't there, seem to respect him, like him. There was a good vibe about them being up close with them, and they played some strong defense last season. I'm not surprised they've come out strong, and I'm not trying to say I called them for a deep playoff run or anything, but seeing the way that they played the Browns doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, Vrabel's a guy who had respect when he was a player. Let's just start there. He was a great player. People respected him as a player in the locker room. He was a winner. So as a player, and he's your coach, what do you have to question that comes out of his mouth? Mm. He did it. He understands it, and he's teaching you.
How much? So how important is that, Jay, as a player? And this is true. You know, you can ask this in a lot of sports, I guess. But how important is it to you as a player that the guy telling you what to do played at a decent level?
It depends on what kind of guy you are. I think everybody will take coaching when they see the coaching creates results. Mm. But before the results happen, if you know that this person has done it themselves, or like a Belichick or somebody who you've seen it transpire, you'll just say, okay, I'll try it. Like if I'm playing corner and a guy who I know played and coached well says, I want you to change your technique, trust me. And it might be uncomfortable for me, but I just do it because I know it's worked for other people. I mean, that's stepping out there on the ledge, and you have to have trust, because that doesn't happen all the time. Not every coach is like that. We're going to let everybody know the truth. It's not like that with everybody. Mm. So with him, with Vrabel, it's like that. And that defense, I mean, they have the Patriots imprint all over it. Mm. They run so many different looks. They are so flexible with what they are showing at the line of scrimmage and how they move in and out, that it's confusing. And it's going to really hurt you if you have a bad offensive line like the Cleveland Browns.
And we figured they'd be a team that, because of that, because of their defensive prowess and Vrabel at the helm, tough to beat. You know, they hold you to 17 points and they're going to scrap out quite a few games, 2017, 17-14. They put up 43 points on the Browns. And props to Marcus Mariota, a quarterback on the hot seat coming into this season. 3 touchdowns for him, a decent day at the office. Derrick Henry, another comeback kid. I mean, what? Derrick Henry was on fire.
Man, that's their formula, right? We're going to play tough defense. We're going to keep it tight, because what happens in the third and the fourth quarter when you got a running back like Derrick Henry who's been coming downhill on you all day, you don't want to tackle him anymore. You're tired. You're hurting. He's been wearing on you. That is their formula. Keep it close, and we are going to physically beat you up and make you quit.
You know, on a good day, I wouldn't want to tackle Derrick Henry.
you don't want that. You and I don't want that.
We don't want any part of that.
Nah.
What about your man Saquon Barkley? Couldn't get his quads in gear enough anyway to stop the Cowboys running all over the Giants. No surprise there, I guess. But what did you make of both of those teams? Dak Prescott getting paid. We hear from Jerry Jones, his camp. He's going to follow Zeke Elliott getting the money. And Zeke, of course, didn't see a huge amount of action as we expected after that long-term holdout in the summer, but still got a touchdown, picked up 50 yards. Amari Cooper was in the mix again. Randall Cobb, the former Packers. So their offense absolutely cooking. And the Giants just weren't there, were they?
Yeah, Saquon started fast. I was excited. He's going to be great all year. Not taking anything away from that man. He is going to be special, but it wasn't special enough. And they didn't feed him the ball enough. But you know, I understand why when they put eight in the box, they want to force you to throw. You got to do what's there. But as far as the Cowboys are concerned, let me tell you something. Dak Prescott, this kid bet on himself and it's going to work out. Because my goodness, is he looking good. He has such a command of this offense. You started to see that change a little bit last year. Mm. But Kellen Moore and him, Kellen Moore knows Dak Prescott. Let's just not forget that. He understands what this guy can do and do well. And he is tailoring his play calling accordingly.
That is the key, isn't it? That's absolutely on the button, Jay, because we forget that sometimes Goff and McVay are a prototype of that as well, that sometimes we get too carried away with the makeup of a quarterback and the versatility and the multi-dimensions of them as an athlete. But if they are in the right place at the right time with the right guy, then that's 90% of the battle.
Man, that it's in this day and age in football, you need a play caller, you need a playmaker, and you need protection. And that's what the Dallas Cowboys have. Mm-hmm. You got a play caller, you got a playmaker at your quarterback position, and you're protecting him. That is a formula for success. And you know one thing that Dallas really did well is, yes, they didn't give Elliott the ball a ton of times, but they faked it to him a ton of times in the play action game. So you use the threat of him being on the field and not actually having to give him the ball and let him get contact and hit, which you were trying to avoid. But his presence made you react to the run, because the big play they had down the seam, the middle linebacker ran for the Giants, ran straight up for the run fake and boom, dropped it right in behind him. And it was like wide open. I looked at it, it was cover two. I'm like, where's the middle backer? He's taking the fake. Mm-hmm. So they used him correctly in the play action game, because that's what Prescott is most successful at, the play action pass.
He had a perfect passer rating, 158.3. So putting you on the spot right now, you're building a franchise. Jay Bell gets wheeled in as a GM of Franchise X. You're taking Baker Mayfield or Dak Prescott as your starter?
Ooh. That's just. Are you just trying to make it a painful day for me?
It is. You got to put your, because I know OC's not a huge fan of Baker Mayfield's off the field antics, but you're not as bothered by that, are you? You're not as bothered by his jawing.
I'm not as bothered by it. I like the kid a lot, but every decision I make as far as football is concerned is how the puzzle piece fits, mm-hmm. and I just take that. Everything I've seen with Dak, He's been protected, you know. He's not running for his life. So I gotta go with that, because that's what I see right now. But I could take Baker too, man. I like Baker. I like that dude, man. I like underdogs.
If I asked you the question tomorrow, you might go Baker. Is that type? That's what we're saying.
Man, I might switch in the next 5 minutes. You never know. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna say, because it's just that tight.
What do you make of Jacoby Brissett stepping in for Andrew Luck? He played pretty tidily against the Chargers. They're unlucky, weren't they?
Man, why do you think they just gave him that contract? You think that was on accident that they said, oh, you're a starter, here you go with an extension? No, because that kid can whip it. He has so much snap in his arm and his throwing ability. He can make all the throws, and he knows that system. I mean, this kid is a smart player. When you come out of New England, all those guys' football IQ is so high.
It's doubled the moment you walk in, right? Is that
it's works? Just you got it. So he's got it. And I think the play calling is going to morph around his skill set. But yes, he's got it. You can win with him. I like the Colts. I like what they can do, especially in their division. And it is because of Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, they definitely feel as though they are going to be there or thereabouts, despite the reverse. Other key scores, the Vikings beat the Falcons 28-12, a desperately disappointing day for Matt Ryan. His offensive line not helping him out at all there. What else have we missed? Oh, well, the Rams, Carolina, hell of a game that was, wasn't it?
Man, that was a tight game. And both those teams are good. Both those teams are good. You know, I was watching Jared Goff because he got all that money, and I wanted to see him just beat a guy. And you know, he was good. He was decent. I really was impressed with Christian McCaffrey, even though they lost. I mean, he was, what didn't this guy do? He's ready for a super breakout year.
What about Cam's shoulder? Cause that was a big concern for the Panthers. It seemed to be okay. And he said afterwards, yeah, I'm fine. Of course he's going to say that, I guess, but it didn't seem to be much of an issue.
Well, you always know what the team thinks by looking what they do. And I think he threw the ball almost 40 times. Mm-hmm. So that means they're not back there saying, hey, let's lay off a little bit. Cause they're going to tell you, they see him every day in practice. If they try to attempt to throw the ball almost 40 times, they're not worried. So that's the answer right now.
You were giving me some wisdom the other day, Jay, when we were doing a show together after, off the back of the Thursday Night Football defeat for the Bears. And talking in particular about Mitch Trubisky and saying, look at the first 15 to 20 plays that are dialed up. And that'll tell you everything you need to know about what the offensive coordinator and the organization thinks about Trubisky as a quarterback.
Yes. And that really works, especially with the West Coast offensive disciples kind of play callers, because that's what they do, right? They script the first 15 to 20 plays. They want to see how the defense adjusts, things of that nature. And or get their quarterback feeling good about himself, right? Seeing the proper things. And you saw that by the beginning, you were like, this is really vanilla as far as his reads. It was half field reads. It was read if number one's open, if number one's covered, go to number two, maybe number three. And they're all on the same side of the field. I didn't really see him scan to the backside. As you can see, a Tom Brady or Drew Brees, if they have those kind of reads, they can get to the fifth receiver in less than 2.5 seconds.
Yes.
So you saw a guy doing very simple reads. And as you saw the game progress, you could see why. They're still working with him. Doesn't mean he's not going to pan out and be great, but they're still working with him.
Now, Jay Bell, I know we're tight for time. You're a busy media mogul, right? So you got places to be, things to do. But a couple of quick questions from Twitter I'm going to fire at you super speedy because our listeners have fired in a lot at the NC show. Here's one from Reese Knott. Appreciate this, Reese, because you are a former New York football giant, of course, Jay Bell. How long until Daniel Jones gets the starting job for the Giants? Because Eli looked old, he said. Not football old, actual old. I don't think Eli looked harsh.
That's wrong.
That is harsh.
That is harsh.
I don't think he did, personally. I disagree with Reese on that. I think everybody is too down on Eli too quickly. But presumably, and we saw a bit of Daniel Jones yesterday, didn't we? But presumably, we're going to be seeing a lot more of him. The question is when.
Yeah, I think Eli is going to be on that field as long as Eli's body allows him to line up this year. They're going to let Eli. That organization has a lot of respect for Eli Manning. There's some good owners in New York. Those Giants, the Giants are a good organization and they have a lot of loyalty towards him. So as much as the fans and all of us might say, man, let's get the young guy out there. Young guy might not be ready. We don't know what's happening in practice. We don't see that, but they have a ton of respect for a guy that got them two Super Bowls.
There you go. Thanks, Reese. Thanks to everybody for getting in questions for us this week. We'll try and fire some out during the course of the week. We've got shows dropping Wednesday, Friday as well. Of course, Jay Bell, great to have you on, man. A fine debut on the show. And what are you up to? You've got the podcast with Oast, the TV show with Oast and Chappers as well. Plug away for a bit. There's some of the stuff you're doing.
I mean, that's really it, man. You were on the show with us the other day. It was cool.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Can't wait to do the games with you live this year.
Yeah, that's right. The Wembley games on the BBC. Looking forward to that. Always a pleasure doing that as well. Okay, man. Well, listen, thank you so much for dropping by, Jay Bell, benefiting from your insight and your wisdom as ever. Look after yourself, man, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Superb stuff from Jason Bell.
If you haven't played Paddy Power Fantasy yet, you're missing out. But on the upside, if you haven't played it yet, you qualify for a risk-free first go. Get up to £20 back as cash when you play Paddy Power Fantasy. And because every NFL game day is a season in itself, you don't have to wait to find out if you've won. Paddy Power Fantasy. Hate waiting, love winning. New customer offer, min £5, max £20 refund. T's and C's apply. Paddy Power Fantasy rules apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Terrific stuff from Jay Bell. Really, really glad he's part of the gang this season. I'm looking forward to catching up with him very soon. We're back Wednesday. I'm Mike, deep diving on all the big stories from around the NFL. Antonio Brown may have a new team by then. You never know. That's how fast things move in the NFL. Thanks very much for all of you getting in touch at the NC Show. It's how you follow us on social. Subscribe, download. You know the drill. We'll see you Wednesday. Bye for now.
The Nat Coombs Show, presented by Paddy Power Fantasy.